Yellow.
Hello. Hey. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Loctars and Degias podcast about Harry Potter. This is all Harry Potter, mostly to talk crap about the last movie, which we both didn't like, but overall, just to talk about Harry Potter. Brought to you by
And
Skype.
generate hate mail, of course.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to the hate mail. I don't think I. You know that. Surprisingly enough, I've only gotten hate mail twice. One of it was,
Really?
yeah, only twice. One time it was just, "You darn foreigner, get out of my country." And the
Oh
other
yeah, you
one,
gotta love those ones.
and the other one was, it was also a racist one, but it was so badly constructed that I couldn't get the gist of what they were trying to say. And I was like, wow.
Like I think there's an insult in here somewhere. I
Yeah,
just
but
can't find it.
those are the best, when somebody's trying to insult you, but they cannot, put the insult together well enough that you can actually get it. So, yeah, and I
Yeah,
haven't gotten
they
hate
can't,
mail since then. That was a while ago,
Wow.
too.
Well, hopefully we'll break that streak.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to. Oh, and you're gonna generate hate mail automatically, especially when. We were just talking on the phone a couple of minutes ago, just
Yeah,
before this, and I asked,
we were
Mr.
talking about about the
The
Lotte,
book.
you were asking me if we were going tonight to pick out book what are we on, book seven now?
Yeah, seven and last.
Seven and last, yeah. And so I was just telling you that when book five came out, my daughter was, I think she was like three and a half or four. And she had seen the first movie and, she liked it. She obviously didn't grasp, 90% of what was going on, but she liked it. So, my wife thought it'd be a good idea to go take her to, like a book release, midnight release of the book that was coming out that year, which was Order of the Phoenix. And, I mean, I'm a geek and a nerd, but I mean, some of the people that were there, like dressed up as, Dumbledore, and I'm talking about the adults. The kids, it was cute. It was like a second Halloween for them. They got to stay up way late, go to, it was cool. They had games and stuff, and it was designed for kids, but it was probably, 70% adults,
Wow.
30% kids, and
Like wigs and all? Like,
there's
there was
probably,
wigs?
a couple hundred people. What was that?
Was there wigs and everything? Like people in
You,
like
uh, you
wigs?
know, I think so. There was definitely a couple of fake beards. Those like those the kind with the adhesive backing you tape to your face.
Ouch.
And it was just it, yeah. It was out of hand. I mean, there was people pushing, my 3.5, 4-year-old daughter out of the way, and it's like, you're an adult. Come on. You're at a children's book release party, and you're pushing kids out of the way. This is freaking ridiculous. And it got pretty close to the point where I was gonna start throwing some punches because it was ridiculous. It was like being at a punk. It was like being at a punk rock show, and like it was just this giant mosh pit. Only instead of being, sweaty and wearing rock and roll t-shirts, it was sweaty adults wearing capes and, witch hats. And so I swore never again to go to one of those midnight release of anything.
Oh, wow. That's sad. Let's see. Book five was actually the last one that I actually went, and actually the only one that I've ever been to a midnight release. But the way that I timed it was, I went probably around like 11:45. I sit in my car and waited for like everybody to be done with whatever it is they were doing inside. And then when I saw people starting to come out with the actual book, then I went inside, stood in line, picked up my book, and got out. And that worked perfectly for me. I didn't have to shove anybody or, step over a kid or anything.
Deal. Yeah, don't step on the children. They don't like it.
Yeah, they seem to
Yeah, and then
whine.
with the last book, with the last book, we just said screw that, we're not going through that mayhem again. And we went to the bookstore like noon the next you know, the morning it came out, and waltzed right in, grabbed a copy. I mean, they had hundreds, so it's not like they sold out. And like 5 minutes, we were in and out, and it was like, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, short of ordering it online and having it shipped to your doorstep. But yeah, it's the pandemonium was amazing.
Yeah. I'm gonna go pick it up tonight just for the fact that I do wanna see the freaks. I might take a couple of pictures. B's never seen
you know,
a bunch of people going out. So, you know, I'm gonna take a couple of pictures and probably put one up on, you know, for the podcast or something, and just, I don't know. Hopefully there's some kind of debauchery going on.
At a Harry Potter convention.
Of course, dude. You know there's going to be wands. There's going to be people poking eyes out. This is going to be fun. This is the last one. They got to go out with a bang.
Yeah, don't forget your hockey mask, you know, just to make sure no one pokes you in the face or gouges you.
Yeah, it could happen. But anyway, this series has been good. I think the movies have been surprisingly good. I think with the fourth one, it started to go a little bit downhill, and I think both of you and I agree that the last movie was horrible, but I'll let you start, you know, ripping it apart first before I take it.
Oh, all right. You know, I kind of like to start with the things I like about whatever I'm about to rip apart, you know, just because it makes me feel like a decent person, I guess. So, you know, as far as the things I liked, you know, there were some funny parts, obviously. But for the most part, I think that the best scene was actually the opening scene with the Dementors attacking Harry and Dudley, just because they were way more realistic than in the previous movie. And or not the previous one, but in part three. And it was just really, really well done, I thought. Didn't look cheesy, and you know, it actually had me on the edge of my seat, even though I knew exactly what was going to happen. And that was pretty much it. That's pretty much what I liked about the movie. You know, I mean, you and I, we kind of briefly talked, you know, online about it. And, you know, they left out, you know, obviously in every movie that's made from an actual novel, you can never capture the amount of detail and the narrative. It's just impossible, especially in a book that is as massive as Order of the Phoenix is. I mean, I'm looking at my copy now, and it's, you know, over 865 pages. You know, so it'd be like it'd be like a 12-hour long movie if they did it detail by detail. So, you know, obviously they have to cut things out. It just seemed really dumb to me, the stuff that the things they left out.
Yeah, the
you know, in the book,
interesting.
Yeah, you know, like in the book, to me, one of the biggest things from the book was you actually find out why the Dursleys never kick Harry out of the house. You know, they obviously don't like him, so why do they keep him around? You find out why they don't kick him out. You find out why every year or every summer Harry has to go back to their house for the summer. You know, previous movies and books, it's mentioned, you know, he tries to go stay with Sirius, or he wants to go stay with Ron. And you know, it's something that you know, watching the movies, you know, I wondered, well, why doesn't he? You know, there was never a good reason, you know. And in the book, we find out, you know, to paraphrase, because I think they spent like a whole friggin' chapter on it, you know, it's basically because of the spell that Dumbledore put on you know, Harry, and when he was accepted into the Dursley's household, it kind of, you know, sealed that, you know, family, that alleged family bond and family love, protecting him from Voldemort. You know, and to me, as simple as the concept, exactly, you know, and as simple as the concept was, it kind of, it answered that. And at least for me, that was a big question. You know, the only other really big thing that annoyed me, I mean, there's a lot of little stuff that they left out, like how in the movie Neville found the Room of Requirement by accident. That annoyed me. Would have taken the, you know, with that whole scene, the whole special effects, it would have taken maybe 2 minutes more to have it happen as it did in the book, where Dobby tells Harry about this room and then shows it to him. Who doesn't like Dobby?
Well, that's the thing, and that's one of the things that probably annoyed me the most about the movie. They totally cut Dobby out completely out of the last two movies, and they put Creature in, but Creature didn't even do the worst thing in the movie that he did in the book, which is, you know, lie to Harry. You know, and that was a big part, and it's like, why did you even put him in the movie if he wasn't going to do the thing that he did that everybody hated him for?
Yeah, it's like if you're going to put a house elf in a movie for the sake of having a house elf in there, and you're going to invest the time and the resources to create that house elf for the movie, you know, make it on track with what actually happened, or, you know, to your point of, you know, in the movie, have them do like the big thing that they did in the book. You know, if you can only have them in one or two scenes, then have it be like the pinnacle of their presence in the book.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's one thing that annoyed me. The only other big thing that really annoyed me was, you know, in the first book and movie, when Harry shows Ron the, I forget what it's called, I think the Mirror of like Erised or something. When Ron looks in it, you know, he finds that what he sees is that he's the house boy. He's popular. He's playing Quidditch. He wins the house cup. And in the book, you know, he doesn't become house boy, but he becomes a prefect, which it's on its way to that step. You know, so that was kind of like a dream of his that he maybe didn't even realize at the time that is on his way seemingly to achieve. He helps Gryffindor win the House Cup. So it's like, as far as character development goes, that's something that I felt should have been in there, because, you know, almost everyone who likes the Potter series likes Ron. You know, he's kind of like goofy, you know, unpopular kid that gets picked on that everyone knew about. And then here's a chance to show that he's kind of developing into his own person, and he's finding his own spotlight, and they just cut that out of the movie. I like the Quidditch scenes in the movies. I was pretty bummed in the last movie when it was so short.
Yeah, it was. Well, not only that it was so short, but like, for example, you know, in the last movie, they cut out the whole World Cup was very significant, and, you know, they had them flying and everything else. It wouldn't have taken that much to actually make it into a full Quidditch match. And that is a big part of the book. And like you said, you know, they cut out character development. You know, second, it's like, hello, Ron comes into his own skin. He stops being, you know, quote-unquote, under Harry's shadow in this book. And all they did was shove him into the background in this movie. And he was probably the one that was acting the best out of the three. Because I don't know, but Hermione did not pick up on the acting classes that she should have, because she was just as bad as she was before. I thought she was going to improve with time, but she still had that look. I mean, she almost looked like that the drama prairie dog a couple of times.
Yeah, you know, she wasn't the best, you know, that I've ever seen. But she fit, you know, she acted the role really well. You know, in the book, she plays, you know, obviously Hermione, who's extremely stressed through the whole thing with not only being a prefect, but with all the exams they have to do. And, you know, at least in the book, she's super stressed, she's snippy, she's not her normal self. And in the movie, I see what you're saying. I kind of attributed that to that's how she was trying to portray that. Uh-huh. But then again, in the movie, they didn't mention hardly anything about the exams. Nope. They were just this thing that happened when the fireworks went off, and that's another thing that annoyed me was,
oh yeah, they you know, totally they, skimped.
They followed the part where Fred and George kind of say screw you, I'm out of here, but they didn't do it the way they did, and to me that just, it makes no sense. No, you know, instead of spending 5 minutes doing the graphics for you know, them lighting off a bunch of fireworks, why not take that money and those resources and put it towards like better placed, you know, CGI throughout the movie, whether that's on Dobby or,
you know, they they totally skimmed out on CGI, because all of that CGI in that scene looked like it was just strictly taken out of the Lord of the Rings, you know, when when Gandalf, you know, set off the fireworks.
Yeah, with the dragon.
Oh yeah, it looked totally rip off.
Yeah, you know, and that kind of annoyed me, and you know, I mean, it's a lot of not necessarily little details like that, but things that aren't hugely significant, like in the big scheme of things, it doesn't really matter what the book and the movie that they differ on how Fred and George left. The fact, you know, they still upheld the part where they actually made the decision to leave. I thought it was kind of a bummer that they didn't show more, like, in passing, in scene transition of, you know, Fred and George trying to pander their pranks. And I had a great time reading in the book how they were using the first years as their little guinea pigs.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You know, taking notes on what happened when they ate a certain color piece of gum. And, you know, it just seemed to me like they left a lot out. Even little things that really don't have any plot significance, like the whole Weasleys Are King song. You know, that was huge in the book. You know,
every couple of chapters it was mentioned. It was huge in the next book. I mean, the next book even, you know, has people singing that. Because that is a trend. Even though you said, you know, it's a small detail, but I think it's a huge transition thing about, you know, Ron, because Ron stops being just Harry's friend to be an actual Quidditch player that is taking the team to win. And that is just very significant. I don't know. I thought that they did a horrible, horrible job with this book. The only thing that I want to say, the positive thing before I totally rip this movie apart, because I'm just upset. The only positive
Your turn.
was I thought that they did do, not following the book, but they do as an action movie, as an action piece, and I didn't see it on 3D, so, you know, maybe I should go see it on 3D again. I will eventually, but I thought that whole scene was, even though they cut tons out, I thought that it was, you know, it was good action. It was, you know, for somebody that's never read the book, which is what I try to, you know, gauge this movie's at, is, you know, it was a fun thing to watch. It was something that was exciting, and it ended the movie, you know, kind of well. For a book fan, for somebody that is a fan of the series, I think they just totally, you know, just it would have been so cool to actually see people in that, you know, the room of time or something, you know, see the guy go back to a baby and go back to a grown-up, and just, you know, just make the other characters more heroic too, because Neville becomes very heroic, you know. Luna actually, you know, takes part of things, which, you know, I was surprised that they actually put her so much. I thought that they were going to leave her completely out, but they didn't. But anyway, I'm going to start ripping this movie apart. When did the Dursleys become, like, first of all, they used to be all prim and proper in the other movies. I'm sorry, but Petunia looked like a cheap whore from, like, I don't know what. I mean, like, her skirt was so high that I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, cocktail dress? Is that a cocktail dress? I have no idea why they made her look so horrible. And then, you know, what's his name? Uncle Vernon, he just looked weird. He just looked like,
Looked like a slob.
Horrible. And it's like, you know, they're supposed to be this prim and proper, we live in, you know, this good neighborhood and we can barely afford it kind of people, you know, that they're all about appearances. And then they were just, I don't know, insignificant in the movie. I agree with you. The beginning of the movie was pretty good. I mean, that guy Dudley just grew right into the character, which was unbelievable, because he went from being, you know, this dumpy little kid to being, you know, this little bruiser looking kid, which is what they do in the book.
Oh yeah.
So that was kind of cool, and I like that, and I like the way they shot that scene. But you know, I never seen any other movies by David Yates, which is the director of this movie. But and he's actually directing the next one too. But
goody.
Yeah, I'm not excited about that.
I can't wait.
I think the direction of this movie was just horrible, and just the editing to me was just horrendous, because there was so many parts where I'm like, all right, you know, move on, do something different because you're boring.
Yeah.
And then the action was just like,
you know, I know
in your face.
Yeah, you know, I know it sounds kind of silly compared to like the other things that we've been complaining about, but there's a scene in this most recent movie where Sirius appears in the fireplace and he's talking to Harry, and I forget who else may have been there.
Yeah.
And it actually pissed me off how he's like kind of hovering in the flames, but in the last one he's
right. I'm like,
or
in
the third one, I think he's
am I in
he's in like
TV
the actual he's like in the actual embers and the coals, and that was awesome because, you know, as he's talking, you know, parts of it is rolling off, and
uh-huh.
and that was cool. So this, it just seemed like they totally went chintzy on things like that.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
If for no other reason, they should have just kept it consistent for consistency's sake, and they didn't.
Oh no, that bothered me too. I thought that,
you know, and that's one of those things where, you know, again, it doesn't matter in like the big scheme of the plot. Didn't affect the storyline. It's just one of those things that, like when you mentioned the editing, that, you know, kind of came to my mind, because I was like, wait a minute, it's not even close to how they did it. Like, is this like the new version of magic, or, you know,
oh yeah,
did something new happen and maybe we just don't know about it?
Yeah, they definitely, and they, you know, the castle has been changing. The castle used to seem so massive in the first couple of movies, and then in the third one it gets a little smaller, and then, you know, in the fourth one it got even smaller, and now in this one I was almost claustrophobic in that castle. Like, you cannot fit that many people in this castle, because everything was shot in the same three little locations, and they all seem cramped. Mm-hmm. Like, the room of requirement, they didn't do it justice. The room of requirement was supposed to be this massive place, cathedral-like, you know, and it's like a little stone, little patio with a roof. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And the whole mirror thing, and it's like, okay, they're putting pictures up in a mirror, like this is their hangout or something. I'm like, this was supposed to be book-filled cathedral room that was massive. You know, even if you CGI it, just make
exactly.
it look massive.
Yeah, I guarantee you they could have saved money on the mirror, on, you know, cutting those mirrors out and putting up a few bookshelves.
Yeah.
Now, what did you think about the warp part of the movie?
The warp? What do you mean?
The warp? Remember the giant
God.
Hagrid is keeping in the forest.
Don't even go there.
That. You know,
you know what? That angered me more than anything. Not so much for Warp. I could stand him. What I couldn't stand was, why did they make the centaurs? Why did they make them like this?
Not
horrible
talk.
CGI things that don't talk and don't even have like a discernible face. I was like,
yeah. The thing about that
happened.
Yeah, the thing about that bothered me the most was they didn't address it all. You know, like in the first movie, you get the impression that centaurs are, that they're nice.
Right.
And in this one, they're just attacking and stampeding. And while that's what they did in the book, the movie doesn't explain, even by a 20-second, even by like a 20-second, explanation from one character to another that, oh, hey, centaurs don't like people in the forests anymore. That's as long as it would have taken, you know.
Oh yeah.
One extra line of dialogue.
Hagrid could have been like, you know, the centaurs are not friendly towards us anymore. You know, they could have even made it about
warp. Yeah.
They could have even made it about warp because I'm keeping something in the forest or whatever. And then, that was just horrible.
And
he wasn't even massive either. He was also a little thing compared to what it was supposed to be in the movie. I mean, at first when they approach it, they don't even know if this is a mountain or not. You know.
Yeah,
it was supposed
exactly.
to be a lot more massive. I, you know, somebody needs to, you know, give this guy a conversion between, you know, the metric system and something, because he's just not getting it. He's just not getting how massive this is supposed to be. And you know, the Half-Blood Prince is a very significant book, because this is what plans the whole, you know, is is going to be...
It's what Snape everything is built up
or
to.
Whatever. You know, if Snape is not going to be evil enough in the next movie, I'm going to be just upset. It's like, where are they going to take this? I mean...
Yeah.
I'm just...
Yeah,
I'm
you just know, upset. With the do you need a moment?
I think I need a moment to just gather myself.
With you know, with the giant in the forest thing, it was one of those things where they cut back on so much of the detail and the backstory that they should have just left it out.
Of course,
you know, because they changed enough of the plot and the story for the movie that they could have changed how Umbridge got, you know, that whole scene at the end where Umbridge got carried off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they could have just fabricated something like they did so many other times in the movie. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I kind of, you know, I read the first and second book, and I didn't read the third and fourth, mostly because I just didn't have time. But I was still able to watch the movies and have a good idea of the storyline. And uh-huh. Kelly, you know, she read them all, and she would point out little things here and there. Oh, that's not what happened. This is what happened. But overall, it was pretty... as close to be to the story to the book as they could get, from my understanding, you know.
Yeah,
and
no,
with
no,
this
no.
one, I'm watching
good.
It, and even though I read the book, you know, I'm still kind of trained to watch these movies as someone who hasn't read the book. So I was watching it, you know, and it's like they move so fast, like the plot it was just from, you know, bam, 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 that before you really grasp the significance of something that may have just happened, they're onto something else. And it
poor
just seemed
editing,
you know
poor editing
yeah, you know, in a kind of a bittersweet way, you know, the movie was like two hours and like 20 minutes long or something, and it flew by, and I like mm-hmm. movies like that, you know, in one sense, because that means it was a good typically means it was a good movie and you were really like you were just in the zone. But with this one, I felt like when it was over, and the only way I knew it was coming to an end is we went to the IMAX in San Francisco to watch it in 3D, and only the last 20 minutes was in 3D. So they have these little blinking 3D glasses blink on the screen for a couple seconds so you know to put the glasses on. And when that happened, it was like, what? You know, it's been like 2 hours already? You have to be kidding me. And it was just, you didn't, when it was over, neither of us had this sense, this feeling of, like
closure.
Satisfaction. Like,
there was no closure.
Yeah. Well, not even closure, because you know there's still two more books, you know, or two more movies to watch.
Yeah, but you know what? She's done an excellent job closing every single book, though.
Exactly. And in the book, I think on this one, she closed just as well.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, like, with the movie, I just, when it was over, I kind of felt cheated and used. It was like, but I'm not ready for it to be over. Like I was just so like baffled that of the decisions they made. You know, and
they moved
one of the other
quickly.
Things that, yeah, and they have to in all the movies because there's so much. Again, there's so much detail. You know, like the fourth movie, you can tell they had to. You know, for again coming from someone that didn't read that book. I know when I watched that movie that they had to leave a lot out because even that one is pretty fast. It moves pretty fast. And you know that in between, you know, for example, when Harry, you know, and Cedric and all of them, you know, have to fight the dragons, that there's a lot more that happens between then and when they go swimming in the lake.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, you just know there's more. There's got to be, you know, 10 chapters in between there. So you expect some level of disappointment as far as, you know, substance, but this was just ridiculous.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, you see, and you have to go back and just for me when you have some time, you have to read book 3 because that's my favorite book. You can go ahead and leave book
yeah.
4 out, but book 3 is my favorite book because the movie is good, but it doesn't do it justice. That's when Harry builds a relationship with Sirius, even though it's in two chapters and he doesn't really get to build up. Just reading that was amazing. Just how you know, from one moment, this is the villain, this is the guy that killed your parents, to the next moment coming to a realization that this is the guy that loved your parents more than anybody else in the world. You know, he was like family. And then you start finding out that he was family. I mean, he went to live.
That with, he's the know, victim.
With... Oh, yeah, definitely. It's...
Yeah.
That is an amazing
book. Yeah, that's... book. Kelly agrees with you on that one. I'm pretty sure she said that book three was her favorite. You know, and book, you know, the book five she really liked, mostly because it gave her a new appreciation. I mean, Fred, you know, we laugh our asses off whenever we watch the movies at Fred and George, or whenever we start to read one of the books. And, you know, in book five, they were just hilarious. Like, all of the lines were just funny. You know, in book five, I agree with her and when she says that it really made her appreciate them. You know, you kind of see how they're still the kind of the goofballs of the school, and of the whole society, really. But they have matured, and they're still goofballs, but they make smarter decisions about when to goof off, and kind of like some people, you know, take to the streets with signs to protest something, whereas with them, they use their talents, which happens to be jokes and gags and pranks, to in protest. You know, and that's what I thought was so cool about it. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I like book five so much.
And I think that she's onto something here, because I think in the last book they are going to become central characters during the whole fight. I think they're gonna come out and just totally kick butt, because they were kind of subdued and quiet during book six, not so much because they were running their business, but I think that they're also really getting into just
kind of the build up.
Oh, I think they're kind of kick ass.
Kind of like Percy, you know. He, through the whole series, he's kind of been, he was sort of there in the earlier books, not so much in the, you know, the middle ones. And then the book sends that letter to Ron, that big old one warning him, you know, he's a lot more present in the book. You know, and you can, I kind of think there's something decent. Like, he's got a decent role.
Oh, yeah,
he's after book five.
He's a bastard.
yeah.
He disowned his whole family.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't even have the decency to come back.
No.
When he found out he was wrong. You can tell I'm a little angry, huh?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, the way that I look at his character is like, you know, he has everything that Harry has always longed for, which is a family, brothers, you know, just people to call his own. And he just completely throws all of that away, you know, just because, whatever, you know, just because he wants power, pretty much.
Well, you can tell just from the very first time he was introduced into the series that that's how he was. That's how he was going to be, you know what I mean? Like, he was already, you know, didn't really talk pleasantly to his siblings, and kind of had an air about him, you know. And that's good character development, because how many times do you see a character in a movie or a book act a certain way and you know, okay, I kind of have an idea of where this dude's ending up, you know? So do you what are your predictions about the next book, or the last one actually?
My prediction is that Harry is going to end up being a teacher back at Hogwarts. That's my only prediction.
That's your only prediction? If you were to write the ending, how would you have it... How would you have things end up? Yeah, like if you wrote the book, how would you have wanted to end it?
I would probably not kill a whole bunch of people except for maybe Snape, maybe a couple of the Weasleys, maybe one of the twins, so one stays alive. And I wouldn't kill Ginny. I wouldn't kill Ron. I wouldn't kill Hermione. I might kill a couple of the people from the Phoenix, from the Order of the
Phoenix. Boy, listen to you. I wouldn't have very many people die except this person, this person, this person, this person, and a couple people over here.
If I had to kill people. It is a war, you know. There's going to be casualties. But I'm you know what? I was kind of thinking, you know, I'm not going to kill any of the main characters, which is something that people have been hinting towards. But I would end it with just, you know, probably not an all-out battle between the two sides, but just little skirmishes, you know, trying to find them, trying to get everything. And then at the end, Voldemort is like completely alone. Everybody's deserted him. And actually, Draco Malfoy is the one that gives him up and helps Harry, you know, locate him. And the last fight is just Voldemort is pretty much nothing. And Harry just, you know, overwhelmingly says, you know, I'm actually not going to kill you. I'm only going to have the mentor come and take your soul. And you know, that would be the ending for me. So you know, he doesn't kill him. He just leaves him as an empty shell. Because by that time, he would have taken all the Horcruxes and, you know, so he would just have one piece of soul, which the Dementor will take, and he would just be an empty shell. That would be...
Because an ugly empty shell.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Voldemort always said that there are things worse than death, you know? I mean, Dumbledore always
said that. So then, how would...
Say that again?
You know what I mean? No, I remember in the book for the book 5?
Uh-huh.
You know, the prophecy is that in the end one of them has to die and one of them has to the one that lives has to kill the one that dies.
Oh, how do I get around that?
Yeah. See, I'm just curious, playing the devil's advocate.
Okay, after the soul is taken, since J.K. Rowling is going to knock on my door and say, you wrote my book wrong, I'll have him use the sword, the Gryffindor sword, to actually kill him after his soul has been taken away. Just stab him through the heart.
Oh, okay. So he just kills the empty shell.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay.
How is that for closing the circle, Mr. Editor?
That was, you know, that was amazing just pulling that out of your ass.
All right, so how would you end the book if you were the writer?
Oh, yeah, see, this is, I think, what's going to get me lots of hate mail.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I was the writer, you know, if I was J.K. Rowling, I would kill off Harry.
Really?
Wow. Really. You know, and I'll tell you why. It would, you know, the curse of every good series is if the hero survives at the end. You know, let's look at Star Wars. You know, when the first, you know, the original three movies came out, there was, you know, 20-ish years full of crappy, you know, novels where people took the, you know, Luke and everyone and kind of wrote a book just to make a buck, and it kind of, in my opinion, ruined the whole series. It kind of ruined the flavor because you have all these people who, you know, supposedly like the characters, like the storyline, like all the details, and then just ruin it. And there's book after book after book, and you know,
some of them were
bestsellers.
You read some
of
them? No. Oh, okay,
no.
Good.
I have not. No, I have a lot of friends who have, though, which is how I know. So if I was, you know, if I was J.K. Rowling, I would, I'd kill him off simply so no one could monopolize on my creation. So, you know, for one, it would be like the ultimate finality. And then what I think she should do is write the prequels, basically. Write the stories of, you know, Harry's parents going up and like the rise of Voldemort and all of that. That's what I think she should do. But
oh yeah,
I have yet to share my thoughts. Yeah, so far I have yet to mention to tell that to anyone and not get dirty looks. So this is a world.
Oh, I thought this was a world exclusive. I thought it was the first one hearing this.
Well, you know, I'm not standing on the street corner shouting Harry Potter should die, but, you know, I mentioned it to Kelly and a couple other people, but...
No, I kind
it's
of
close enough to a world exclusive.
I kind of agree with you, but the reason that I like my ending... The only reason that I like my ending so much is because you know, there's been quite a bit, you know, of time spent saying that, you know, the whole defense against the Dark Arts teacher, you know, position is cursed, and it's actually been cursed ever since Voldemort wanted it. So the way that I look at it is like, you know, if he, you know, can break that curse by becoming the teacher after he kills Voldemort, I think that's kind of a good continuity thing. And it would be like he kind of breaks a you know, that curse. But I like your ending. I really like the fact that, you know, they're not going to be able to bastardize Harry, even though they did bastardize Harry already.
Exactly.
By already putting him in that, you know.
By making the fifth movie the way they did.
Yeah. He was not a bad actor, even though Beatrice totally just murdered my, I don't know, what do you call it, Harry Potter innocence, because she sent me the picture where he's naked, and I'm like, oh my god, that's gross.
Oh, the one from that play he did?
From Equinox, or whatever the play is called. I don't know what it is. I'm pretty sure.
I remember reading about that one.
I'll get hate mail, but, you know, she actually found, I don't know where or why they found this picture, what they were looking for, what they were doing, but he's got full frontal, okay? So I happened to mention this to the guys at work. I happened to mention this, you know, just in passing to one of the guys at work and telling him, you know, don't ever see it. Don't even, no, hold on, it gets worse. I'm like, don't go look at it, it'll be bad, it'll be wrong. And he comes back to me, and he's just like, oh yeah, dude, he was like uncut. And I'm like, oh my god, I didn't even go that into detail, you know, I didn't even know that much, and I'm just totally grossed out. I'm like, why did you even notice that?
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, I feel dirty now.
Oh no, I'm totally going to send you the picture.
No. The Fed's knocking on my door because you sent me kitty porn.
No, he's not. Oh, I guess he is underage, isn't he?
Thanks a lot, dude.
You know, this is one of those things that you watch and you cannot erase from your brain. So I'm totally going to share it with you. This will be my present to you after the podcast.
I hate you. I hate you so much.
I know you do.
Yeah, that one's going in the spam folder.
Oh, I don't know who Longtar is. To get it to you. I'll find a way to get it to you. It'll be this guy's, like, you know, like a Viagra email or something. Something that you'll want to open.
Oh. Yeah, because, you know, I totally open those Viagra emails.
It was the best.
Anyways, yeah. On short notice, yeah. Sorry, I didn't give you a heads up that you were gonna have to, you know, flame me like that.
It's okay.
You can. I'll let you know next time. Maybe you can write something down. You know.
Yeah. You know, I could come up with a new ending for the book on the spot, but, you know, come back on the spot. I don't know. I don't have a good one.
That's just asking too much.
Yeah, you know, but I'll make sure that you see, you know, Daniel Radcliffe Specker or whatever. Are you lighting up a cigarette?
I really would.
Is that what I hear?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
It sounds like you're
close. I don't smoke.
I didn't think so either.
Oh. No, that's my lip ring.
Ah, that's what's clicking.
You mean this? This?
Yeah, that. It sounded like you were.
Yeah, that's my. No, that's my lip ring.
Huh, we're gonna have to show a picture of that too. Not with.
Of my Harry lip ring clacking.
Yeah. Oh, we could do a little video.
Not with Harry.
Nothing to do with Harry Specker clicking and. All right, you know. I think
we're. Yeah, there's a special hell for us.
We're gonna. There's a lot of
Actually, I should say there's a special hell for you because you're the one that brought up that subject.
Well, you know what? My wife was the one that brought it up initially, so.
Blame her.
This is the second time this week that she's like totally thrown me under the bus. She threw me under the bus. last night we were. One of my coworkers and his wife have come over for dinner, you know, a couple of times. And we're pretty good friends. We, you know, we play Wii. We've gone over to their place. And it just so happened when they sent us, you know, the little avatars that you use on the Wii, which are called Miis, they had their, you know, their pet names on them, which is, listen to this, Pookie and Schnookums. So, of course, I've been, you know, just giving my coworker hell, but not in front of anybody else. You know, I just go into his cubicle, I'm like, good morning, Pookie. But nobody knows about this. So last night, we go to dinner with another one of my coworkers and his wife. And, you know, we're just at dinner or whatever. And she totally lets out the whole Pookie thing. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, nobody knows at work. I haven't told anybody. Oh, my friend now, you know, my other coworker is going to go. Because we have a huge board at work where we just write stuff. Like, you know, what are we going to have for lunch or whatever? He's going to write, who is Pookie? And I'm going to get in trouble. So she totally threw me under the bus. Can't believe it.
Yeah, that's brutal.
I know.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because, you know, this was totally contained. I was just abusing him in his cubicle. But now everybody's going to know that his wife calls him Pookie. And you know what's going to happen. You know that's going to be his name from now until eternity. You know, he's going to be Pookie.
Yeah, so you basically just ruined that guy.
Pretty much. He's probably going to have to get another job. But anyway, I think let's check the time. We are now at 46 minutes, and I don't think we need to do any editing. We'll just leave it raw.
Just leave it raw and let the hate mail start trickling in.
Oh yeah, we'll leave it raw, and we'll even name it raw. I'll upload it tonight, and I'll send you a link so we can, you know, not give out free T-shirts, but just get, you know, hate mail.
So we can wish we never did it.
Well, you know, I always have fun doing these things with you. So this has been
fun. It's a blast. Oh yeah, we'll have to do it again. Hopefully, not wait till the next Harry Potter movie comes out.
No. We still have to do like the one that we're gonna team up against Michael, Mr. You know, Holy.
Which one was that?
We were gonna do Dean Koontz versus the guy that wrote The Stand, Stephen King.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been trying to get a hold of Michael lately, but it's just been very, very difficult. He's just been too holy for me. Well, remember he made me
too holy.
Censor my whole MySpace flipping off picture.
Yeah, you caved on that one, dude.
Dude, he hurt my
feelings. You turned tail and ran.
I was not on his top 10 anymore.
I feel like I'm in high school again.
It was awesome, dude. I totally cared. I went to his page. I looked it up, and I'm like, I was like in the bottom, and I'm like, what happened? And he's like, I don't think what you're doing is very appropriate. So I censor myself, and then he starts, you know, just telling everybody, he's like, you know, John is a whiner. And I'm like, dude, I'm doing what you asked me to do. So, yeah, you know, I totally caved in under the MySpace pressure because I wanted to be in his top list. Totally
you
caved.
Just wanted to, yeah, you totally caved.
I did.
Big pansy.
I was, you know, I had a special place. I was creeping up, you know. It's like he had put some girls below me, and I totally care because he totally, like, you know, keeps his. He's probably gonna hate me for this. Because
he put you before the girls.
I know. I'm like, dude. I'm like going up in the world.
Well, not anymore. Went down in the world. You have to go back up again.
I'm totally obscene. I'm like, you know, flipping people off.
You're on the fast track again.
Again. All right, this is
Doctor. All right, man.
And the Gia, and I'm signing off, and I think he's signing off.
Yeah, I don't feel like sitting here talking to myself, so I'll you know, go play with the kids or something.
There you go. Yeah, say hi to your kids.
Like a good dad.
Like a good daddy.
All right. Yes.
All right, dude.
Yep. I'll talk to you later.
Wow, exactly 50 minutes. Believe that.
Oh, well, I'm at 49, 47, 48. Oh, almost. Oh. I'm going to hang up at 50 exactly.
Okay, well, let's wait.
53, we'll see. 4, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59.